take me down out of the barrel there a little bit. When I first came here, one of the things we said that we wanted to do by the springtime is to have 50 in our early morning worship service at 8:30, and we're getting close there, but we're not there yet, so you need to invite some people and bring that. And that was not just a one-time 50 thing, that was an average attendance of 50. So don't forget that we are still trying to work on that and do that, to be able to come and to let our young people and those that are working with the music lead us in the music, and to hear God's words. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you had a bulletin and you had time to look at it, it's by all means save some. And as we think about that, as we think about the theme, it's the theme of thinking about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Now, if you got here fairly early this morning and before services actually started, you were probably greeted with a great big hug, a big smile, and lots of energy. As children, our children are very energetic. Our youth are very energetic. But at some point in life, we become mature adults, and we forget about that energy, don't we? And wouldn't it be great if we could generate that energy back together? And wouldn't it be great if we could take that energy from our children and our youth and somehow bottle it and use it? We could light up this whole city, couldn't we, with the energy that our kids have? So we need to remember that God did not say that we were to grow old and retire, as many think we should do. But as Christians, we should continue the name of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul writes about today when he mentions in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning from verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into a strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to the others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we think about that this morning, as we think about what he was just saying, the latter part especially looks at us. You go out here every day and you see, no matter how cold it is, how hot it is, whether it's raining, sleeting, snowing, you're going to see runners running, aren't you? And I've been up on the parkway and I've seen these cyclists riding these bicycles up and down those hills. And you know as well as I do, when you go on the parkway, if you're on a bicycle, I'm on a motorcycle, you carry extra clothes because you never know. It could be 80 degrees when you hit it, but halfway down through there, it could be snowing somewhere. And so you have to be prepared. Well, these guys on these bicycles, they're not prepared for the cold. But what they are doing is preparing themselves. Weight trainers will prepare themselves, not just physically, but with the foods they eat. They're careful with what they did. I had a teenager that did the bodybuilding thing, and when he went into competition, he had a very rigid set of exercises that he did. He had a very limited food quota that he could eat, and everywhere he went, he would always carry him a can of tuna fish because nobody else would have that. He would open his and eat it. That was his meal, and he stuck to it, and that is the way that they worked. And these people work. This is the thing. They train to do what? To be the very best. And as we look at this, Paul sets that same example to us, doesn't he? We are to do what? We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at this last passage of Scripture there, we should be training, right, to learn how to do what? To share. But the number one excuse for not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is what? I don't feel qualified. But if we read Paul's Scriptures right here, we should be what? Qualified. We should be what? In training. We should train as to who what? Paul says, I did all things to reach all people. And I was a Jew, I went to the Jews, and I taught like the Jews. If you read the Gospels, you see that the Gospels are written for different occasions. John wrote, and as he wrote in a different style than what Peter wrote, and he wrote differently than the others wrote. Some included the Romans and talked about Roman things, and some shared the Jewish traditions. If you read in the Old Testament, sometimes you don't understand what's going on because we don't practice Jewish traditions. But Paul says he learned everything there was to know about everything so that he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, this is what we want to look at. By all possible means, save some. Jesus came on this cross, on this earth to die on the cross for some, right? The elect. That's who he came from, right? No, he died for everyone. Not certain people, not just the Jews, not just the good people, but he died for everyone. He died for the one that was on the cross beside him that said, remember me, and he died for the one on the other side that mocked him. He died for the Roman centurions that were crucifying him on the cross, that nailed his hands there. He was dying for the one that stuck the sword in his side. He died for all of those that made fun of him and all of those that followed him. He died for everyone. And therefore, my understanding of Scripture is simply this. God would want everyone to accept Jesus and go to heaven. That's his desire. But there are some of us that are just like the Jews that are going to be hard-headed, and we're going to do it our way, and we're never going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when that day of trumpet comes, that second coming comes, there are some that are going to go to heaven, and there are some going to go to hell. And people say, well, how can God be such a loving God and let that happen? He let us make our own decisions, didn't he? We have free will. Our government may tell us what we can and can't do. They may end up becoming dictatorship one day and tell us everything that we can do. But the one thing they cannot tell us to do is quit worshiping Jesus Christ. There's nobody on this earth that powerful to make us quit worshiping him. God has overcome everything. And so this morning, what he is wanting us to do is to get that passion that Jesus had and love people the way that Jesus loved people and have tears and prayers as he did and to go out and to share the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that after this service is over with, you come by my office and I've got a stack of tracts over here and I'm going to give you 10 tracts and say, okay, you got to go out this week and share gospel to 10 people this week. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you you got to take your Bible out there. We saw a video that one of the youth are using for tonight, and it was a rap type situation there, but it had a Bible bigger than the guy was, and he was just barely. I'm not telling you to take a big Bible and beat somebody over the head with it. But what we can do is let people know through our lives that we're Christians, right? It's not by just seeing us come to church on Sunday mornings. In fact, we are more witnessing after church than doing church, aren't we? When we go out at school, when we go out on our jobs, more people see us there than here, isn't it? And it's easy to be good in here with everybody because nobody wants anybody else to talk bad about us, right? But what is bad is when we leave here and go out into this world and we become part of that world and not separated from that world. As I thought about the scriptures where they were talking about you can't put new wine into old wineskins, I thought about that. We're in an age, John Upton shared with us, and I think Bill shared it too. We're in that age of changeability. Every 400 years, things change. Medieval times. Aren't you glad we don't live in medieval times? I'd hate to put that armor on, wouldn't you? I'd hate our transportation to be horses and wooden carts. But our culture changes, our religion changes, our styles of worship changes. And for many of us, we're in that change, and we're not going to see the complete change. But we have one of the biggest issues is traditional versus contemporary, don't we? What is right worship and what is wrong worship? Well, for the sake of argument, I'd say that both are wrong. If you look at the way that Jesus worshiped, it's not the way that we worship now. If you look at the way that David worshiped, it's certainly, when's the last time you put sackcloth ashes and stuff and ran out into the community, I have sinned, you know? When's the last time you sacrificed? So what is worship? And how is worship right or wrong? Sometimes we get stuck in our ruts in worship, and it becomes set and concrete that it's really not worship, it's just going through the methods, isn't it? So we found out that traditional worship and contemporary worship are not really any difference. But as long as we worship God, Paul said that. Can you imagine trying to take our young teenagers and the way that they're living today and try to put them into those old wineskins? What's going to happen? They'll bust. Now, I have to take the word of the scriptures because I don't know. I've never been on the winery to see. But this is what the scripture says. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And so when our youth come up, the best thing that we can do is to teach them the foundation of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Teach them the word. And then after they've got a foundation laid, what can they do? They can build on that foundation. And we need to encourage them. And my dad and I fought a lot when I was growing up. He tried to teach me things, and he was right-handed, and I was left-handed. I never could tie a necktie right-handed. He tried and tried and tried to teach me. It just did not comprehend. I had to learn it to do it left-handed. And when my kids came along, I couldn't teach them. I had to go get somebody else to teach them, because they were right-handed and they couldn't understand what I was trying to say left-handed. So we can't all do everything the same way, can we? My father-in-law cannot sit there and follow a set of prints, but yet he can make some of the most beautiful furniture you ever saw. His blueprints are up here. You put them down in paper and say follow them, he can't do it. That's not his style. But you got some people that can just do that. My wife can take a recipe and just look at it, read it, and just cook it like she's done it for years. Me, I can't even boil water. And if I do, I usually burn it. People are different. Styles are different, aren't they? So what is the right way of worship? What is the right way of sharing? Now, I shared with you, I have gone through trainings. I've gone through Virginia Baptist, SBC. I've learned every evangelistic training that's ever been done, tell witnessing, CWT, EE, you name it, and I've taken every class there is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what I learned out of all that? I have to do it the way God shares it with me. Each case, each person that you deal with is different than the one you dealt with before. Sometimes you can share it and they'll pray that sinner's prayers. Other times you can share it and they're not going to do it, but you planted the seed. And then somebody else may come along and actually pray that prayer with someone. So as we look at it, this means by all means save some. This is what Jesus wants us to do. This is what he brought us here. By all means save some. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our teenagers are going into the high schools. And let me tell you, I was a youth minister for years before I pastored. And I am glad, no offense, teenagers, but I am glad I'm not a youth minister right now. There is so much trouble in the world today. There are so many families that are split. And they don't know if they're coming and going. And there's so much baggage that they have learned to pick up because of the situations in their homes, at school, and everywhere else. When I was a youth minister, we had a mom and a dad and the kids, and that was the thing, and everybody was doing good. We didn't have what we had any real troubles. Divorces were rare. Today, my son told me that us being married for 31 years was rare. Most people today are not married for more than 5-10 years. And if it is, that's a miracle. So you see, things are changing. So how do we reach our young people today? We can't do it the way I did it when I was a youth minister. So how do you reach them? How do you share with them? When I was going through school, I remembered that we had rows of desks. And we all scrambled to the back row. The further back you got away from the teacher, the more you could get away with stuff, right? But my teachers were pretty smart. They figured that out real quick. And so what they decided to do was to start out this way. A, B, C, D, E, F. And it was kind of like the luck of the draw. Except my luck was always being D. I was usually up front and not in the back where I would much rather be. We sat there and we listened. We watched them put stuff on the screen, on a chalkboard. And the bell rang and we left. We didn't ask questions. We didn't have time to. Now, suppose we taught that style of teaching in classrooms today. How many of our kids would pass? They don't learn that way anymore. I was not taught creativity. You learn it by what they said. No questions asked. Today, why? I got it from my kids. Why? 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 And everything you said, why? Right? So how do we teach people? To me, I think it is simply this, the way Paul says, we have to take and come to church. We have to lay that foundation, don't we? We need to build a foundation for them. Lay that foundation down. And once we've helped them with their foundation, then they can do what? They can build their home on it through Jesus Christ. They can use their style. We didn't know what Facebook was when I was growing up. You know, most of our papers were handwritten. Then I can remember when we could... electric typewriters was like computers are today for us, you know. Kids are saying, what? Electric typewriters. Made it a whole lot easier. Instead of banging on those keys, you could actually just touch them. And we didn't have whiteout. We had white tape. So you see, how do you teach today? How do we teach our young people? We don't want to cookie cut, do we? We don't want cookie cutters. I've been that way. And I asked why. And I left. So as we think about that, by all time, do everything that God has called us to. And remember when Paul went to the prisons, he went to prison. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he got into prison, what did he say? Oh me, oh my Lord, why did you let this happen to me? No. But the prisoners became Christians. The Philippian jailer did what? Accepted Christ, took him home, fed him, bandaged him, and Paul got to share with his family because he was in prison and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When's the last time we shared with somebody the name of Jesus Christ? It's every day. The question is, do we share positive for Jesus Christ or do we share negatively? When I got out of high school, I worked construction work, and I went into the Navy. When I got in the Navy, I was kind of tired of all the sins and all the things I was doing, and I was searching, and we had a chaplain that was on the ship with us, and I thought, great. So I went by the chaplain's office that he had up there, and he had this little track board up there, and I picked up a Gideon Bible and a couple of tracts, and I stuffed them in my coat so nobody else could see it. Went down to my bunk, stuck it in my bunk so nobody could see it. And we had little lights at night so we could turn on and read. And that's what I would do. I talked to him a few times. I listened to him preach, and I went for the wrong reason. I had duty, and the only way I could get out of duty was to go to church. If you went to church, they couldn't tell you no. So I went to hear him preach simply so I could get out of work. We hit the beach. We had liberty. We all went and hit the bars and looked who was coming out of the bar with the chaplain. When I got back to the ship, I went back to that bunk. I took that Bible and I took those tracts and I pitched them over the side. What kind of a witness did he give to me? He preached a beautiful sermon on Sunday morning, but during the week, where was he? With us heathens. Not because he was there witnessing, but he was having as much fun as we were. What kind of a witness do we put? This man never knew what he did to me. He turned me away from God, not to God, because of the way he was living. So what is the most powerful witness that we have? Our lives. And people know that we're Christians are going to do what? They're going to watch you. When I came out of the Navy and I started working construction, I was getting right with God again. Hadn't quite made that switch. And I came in one Monday morning. The preacher had preached. I can't even tell you what he preached on. All I know is it excited me. Monday morning, I got to work, and I was telling the people, oh, man, you should have been at church with me Sunday. Our pastor preached. Oh, he was just so great. He preached God's word. By noontime, I had committed a couple of sins, and they looked at me and simply said this: I didn't think as a Christian you were supposed to do that. What kind of witness do we put out? What kind of information do we share? You know, you got people that have tried to teach you how to read body language. People know how to read Christian language too, don't they? Paul says, I must be all things to all people. That doesn't mean that you have to do everything that they did. It means that you have to let your light shine no matter where you're at. Picnic, community, fathers. Mothers are just about as bad nowadays as fathers are. Kids playing ball. My wife was such a sweet, innocent lady until you see her out in the ball field. And when our youngest son got tackled and got knocked on his butt, my wife was coming out of the stands going after that boy. She has been banned from football. She can no peewee football is she allowed throughout the country. When I coached and he got hurt, I had to kick her out. What kind of a witness is that? Angry. I was umpiring a game one time, and the kids, you have to teach them, you know, you can't always make them safe. If they're out, they got to be out. And I had parents come off the stands, rattle the fence cage, cuss me out, threaten me, and everything else. And three of those I knew that were active in their church. They were Christians. But they were cussing me out because I called their child out in a play. So what kind of a witness do we put when we go out in places? When others see us, what do they see? Do we just blend right in with them? Or do they see us as Christians the way we should be? Christ within us. You know, Christ was where Son of God. He was at all the religious meetings, right? No. Jesus went out to where the people were, but he did not participate in what all the people did he? That's what he expects us to do. He expects us to go out in this world. Remember back in history, the monks and all of them, and they did what? They built monasteries. Why? To keep all the ugliness out. And they had nothing to do with it. Where was their witness? If you kept everybody else out and you stayed in the monastery, how did you ever witness to somebody? We have to be out where everybody else is. But that's what Paul says later on, doesn't he? He says that we are to be part of this world, but not to conform to this world. And this is what we like to do. We want to conform. We don't want to be different, do we? We have always tried to be the same as everybody else. I don't want to look different. I don't want to be a standout person. I don't want people looking at me. I don't want people to think I'm a freak, right? And if we do differently than others do, then what will we see? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says this, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creations." Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses." And then in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is none other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." So he is telling us this is what our goal is. This is what we're here for. As we look at the purpose statement of our church, what is the purpose of this church? It's simply stated, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can use anything else that's catchy, but our goal, our aim, the purpose of this church is to save some, isn't it? Well, folks, we can't do it if we don't go out there and do it. We can sit here in the pep rally all we want to. We can get excited. We can have good music and good people singing and all of this and feel real good, but none of it is worth 2 cents if we don't take it outside of these buildings, into this community. And if you look around and you look at the people, I see the people that come into this office that are in need of food. Yeah, some of them are on drugs and spend all the money on drugs, and they don't have the money to pay the rent. And no, they don't have money to buy food for their kids because they spend it all on drugs or something else. I see that all the time. But how do we reach these people? How do we reach them? How do we teach them the love of Jesus Christ if we don't go out there with them? How do we share that? So that's a challenge. Yes, I'd like to see 50 in here, but I'd like to see this community to know and to hear the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to see just, quote, the evangelistic team to go out. I'd like to see the church evangelistic team go out. Every one of us have been called to be that, haven't we? We're called. The Great Commission didn't say the deacons go out, the pastor go out, but it said what? You go out, every one of us. As you are going, preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got a bunch of young people coming right now, and as they come, the more that they bring, the more help we need. We've got children right now, and we had to, in the last several years, we've had to take, because of the size decreasing, we have put classes together. Well, we're in the process now where we've got more kids coming, and we need to take those kids and separate them out, and we need to start those new classes. We need teachers. We need workers. In the nominating committee, which soon will be changed to equipping team, one of the hardest jobs is looking around and said, who do we have? They bring their church directory and they look through it. Who do we have? And when they go through and look at that last picture, they say, well, we don't have anybody. We do have somebody. God has given every one of us here training opportunities to train someone else. We need helpers. We need workers. Vacation Bible School. We need workers, folks. We need a leader, and that leader needs to find workers to work with these kids. And this is the opportunity for you to be a part of laying that foundation. There's nothing any greater than being a youth worker. And as you get old, to see these youth go off to college, get jobs, careers, go into the ministry, get involved in churches, become deacons and youth workers themselves. And you're talking about a good feeling. That is a great feeling. I had a little bit of that. I taught them in Sunday school. I worked with them in Vacation Bible School. I took them to an activity that the church youth group had, and through that they accepted Jesus Christ. You want to make an investment? You want a safe investment? You want a sound return on your investment? Invest it in our youth and children. Go out here, and these kids that are living on the street, kids that parents don't care where they're at. Bring them in here. Teach them the Word of God. Lay that foundation and then watch them build. And you're talking about a magnificent building. And we were a part of it. I can understand how Paul felt in his ministry and people accepted Christ and how he must have felt. I know that last Sunday, 7 young people being baptized, and there are more to come. That's not the end. There's more to come. And I'm excited about that because they're telling their friends about Jesus. They're bringing their friends to church with them. We've got friends, work companions, that we need to invite and bring too, don't we? So maybe our teenagers, maybe our youth and our children are going to set the pattern for us in this church. And if they do, that's great. Then we need to follow, don't we? We need to be a part of. But if you don't get on board with a church that is excited about Jesus Christ, you will find yourself hanging on to the back end and eventually letting go. So my challenge is to get excited for Jesus Christ and then to share the name of Jesus Christ. Let's build with these newborn Christians. Let's build a foundation for them so that at the end of our lifetime, the name of Jesus Christ will continue as strong as ever before. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, and I thank you for this example that Paul gave us here. Your words, Father, the way that he taught, the way that he went out. And Father, I just pray that we too can have that same enthusiasm about you, Father, that we can have that same enthusiasm of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and that we will have so much enthusiasm that we just want to take it out into this world and to let others have the good news, the hope, the peace. And no matter what happens in this world, Father, we know there's happy and joyfulness in this world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Touch us, move us, and let us not leave here this morning without knowing Jesus Christ and ready to serve him. For it's in your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.